This is Amira Adawi with Beauty and Wellness Talk. Today my guest is Dr. Kotke, who is a cardiologist with Health Partners, and we're at the Little Moment conference. So I will be interviewing Dr. Kotke about early childhood development, brain health, and also what the Little Moment project is and what we now learned in the event. So welcome to the show, Dr. Kotke.
Thank you.
So could you introduce yourself, basically talking about your background, education, and experience, so the listeners know who you are and what your expertise are?
Sure. I'm Dr. Tom Kotke. I'm a cardiologist with Health Partners Medical. Grew up in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis and went to the University of Minnesota. Medical school here, background in cultural anthropology, but then spent 2 years in Montreal and 2 years in Chapel Hill, North Carolina in my training. I came back, spent 8 years at the University of Minnesota, but then 17 years practicing cardiology at Mayo Clinic in Rochester. But about 15 years ago, decided that I wanted to be back in the cities working for Health Partners because of Health Partners' emphasis on community, how important it is for people to be a member of the community, and we even know more about that today. And this even is most important for children, for children to grow up in a community that's supportive. It's extremely important for their development and their life experience.
It's so amazing, Dr. Kotke. Earlier you mentioned, I was thinking that you were a pediatrician, but you mentioned that you're a cardiologist and you have so much interest in early childhood. Right. That's really amazing.
Yes, Mary Brainerd, who was then chief executive officer of Health Partners, about 5 or 6 years ago asked me to be part of her team to look into how we can do better by our children in our community. And I joined the team, and I actually surprised myself that I've become very passionate about this issue, because I've realized that our communities, for our community to thrive, we need to support our children, and they deserve our support. And our support makes a tremendous amount of difference. We saw today that yes, wealth makes a difference, but in a supportive environment where the parents in the community support the child in growth and protect them from toxic stress, the impact of wealth disappears.
Yes, that's true, because all the support that they're getting will help them focus on their children and their well-being.
Yes, and I think we all know individuals who, despite tremendous adversity, do phenomenal things. And frequently it's because they're supported. I think of Mai Kao Hong, who is now chief executive officer at Wilder. She came to the United States at about the age of 2. Her family escaped from Cambodia, but she was supported by her grandfather. Her parents both had to work 2 jobs, so between the two of them they worked 4 jobs. But her grandfather told her stories and nurtured her, and now she has a PhD, and she's president of a large foundation. Wonderful things. And I'm sure we know we now have a Somalian Congress who was born in
Somalia, but at a very young age came to refugee.
Story, but now the first Somali member of Congress who's a woman. So the nurturing, the support, can lead to wonderful things.
Yeah, and that whole like role model, having a mother and a father and a grandparents who are role model and protective
and expectations.
Yeah.
And so to go to why we call this little moments count
little
is
moment,
that
yeah.
these like changing the diaper or mm-hmm. you're taking the baby for a walk. They can't talk to you at first, but they're watching you. They're listening to you. They're and so and we also heard that bilingualism helps, and so teaching them both Somali and English.
Yeah.
And so I've heard of examples where Hispanic women or men of my age don't speak any Spanish because their parents were embarrassed. They wanted to speak English.
Yeah, and that's what I want to follow up on, Dr. Kaki, because a lot of parents that I meet with, especially immigrant parents, including Somalis, they want their kids first to speak English because they themselves struggled coming to a new country, not knowing the language. But at the same time, they don't want their kids to go through the same thing. But what parents don't understand are the benefits of these multiple languages for the children.
Yes, the our children's brains are wired to learn language.
Yeah.
And what we now know is when children learn multiple languages, it also helps with their social awareness because they learn who... to whom they should speak Somali, to whom they should speak English, and they become much more socially aware of in competence. So it's actually good to teach both languages.
Yeah, and is that good for their brain capacity and future learning as well?
Okay. And one of the things that we learned today is that learning promotes learning.
Yeah.
Skills promote skills. And so it builds on, each step builds on the next step. And, and these can be, you don't have to set aside time, but it's, one of the things we heard is when you come home to your baby, tell them what you did that day, that you know, driving in your car and you followed her.
I think that's the part that parents need to understand about why multiple languages matter, why their language matters. Especially, language is part of the culture too, holding on to their culture.
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yes, and also talking to your baby, talk to them about what you do. You don't need. There's nothing special about the words. The specialness is the words themselves, and so it's about maybe, you know, if you had to go out and shovel the walk, you tell them about shoveling the walk, or you talk to them about going grocery shopping, or you talk to them about your job or whatever. It doesn't. You don't need books. If you like to singing, or
and that's. Regardless of what language,
it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter, and it's this, it's this interaction that talk to them, and it's important that it's you. It's not screens. Mm-hmm. It's not phones. It's not iPads.
Yeah,
they'll pick that up later. Mm-hmm. They will get that in pre-kindergarten or kindergarten or maybe. But they'll learn it in about 10 minutes. It's the development. What's very important is the development is with you as a mother or a father or an auntie or an uncle or a brother, a sister, or just a neighbor.
Yeah. So so speaking about the little moment, could you talk about a little bit history about the little moment count? And because today we heard a lot about it and how this partnership is so great that the idea is that every entity to use this campaign and making sure that it works for every family, and Health Partner and other organizations have done already great work making sure that it works for everybody. Could you talk about the history of it a little bit?
Sure. So this has been at least 2 years in the development, mm-hmm. maybe a little more. Mm-hmm. And in the about a year ago, we got a community advisory council together, and mm-hmm. so we made sure that our diverse members representing the various communities that comprise the Twin Cities are represented, and we looked for a theme that could be translated easily into many different languages and was meaningful for many different cultures, and also transmitted these the message that it's just little moments. It's you don't have to set aside 20 minutes or 30 mm-hmm. minutes or whatever, and it was just a moment here, a moment there, mm-hmm. This evolved, and there's sort of four takeaways, and mm-hmm. The one is they on a bookmark they say from the weather to what's for lunch, talking helps mm-hmm. a child learn words, mm-hmm. and so it's just hearing words from you that helps them learn.
Like you were saying earlier, just talk to them even about your work.
Yeah, about just anything, just so they hear words from you.
Yeah.
The second is play and be your child's favorite toy. Get mm-hmm. down on the floor, let them crawl over you. And we see this in, you know, if you watch Animal Planet or any nature show, you know, mm-hmm. the mother lion, the cubs are crawling over her head, pulling on her tail, you know. Be like that, because children learn through play. The third is add movement sounds when you read mm-hmm. your children, you know, playful reading. You don't be creative, mm-hmm. do whatever you want in a positive sense, because that helps the child understand how to interact with people. And then the fourth, that you know, words are music to your child's brain, mm-hmm. and so talking to them and the you know, it doesn't require any equipment. It doesn't even require books. You'll get books from your pediatrician, mm-hmm. but it's that talking, and it will take setting aside your phone, mm-hmm. you know, putting the phone down, putting the phone on mute, or putting away the computer, turning off the TV, mm-hmm. Maybe going for a walk without it. But mm-hmm. really involving your child. If you're cooking dinner, talking to your child about what you're cooking, how you're cooking, what you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. Singing to them. If you like to sing, sing to your child.
Yeah, because their brain records all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's thousands of times a second their brain is firing. They may not look like they're paying attention, but they are. Mm-hmm.
So talking about our state status in terms of early childhood disparities, what are these disparities, but also how will Little Moment Count campaign help some of these, to get rid of some of these disparities?
Yeah, so we know there are disparities, and in fact, the disparities in Minnesota are probably as big or bigger than any place else in the United States, and that's because the European American community mm-hmm. is quite wealthy.
Yeah.
I mean, we have big corporations here. We have 3M, we have Medtronic, we have General Mills, mm-hmm. we have Cargill, but we have a lot of recent immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that stimulation,
mm-hmm.
that things that don't cost money, stimulating the child, talking to the child,
mm-hmm.
And then protecting them from toxic stress, that spending time every day, those little moments, talking to them, loving them, singing to them, can make up for that.
Mm-hmm.
We learned the science is very clear that it can make a huge difference, and can make up for lack
mm-hmm.
of resources.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we don't need to pay attention to adequate food, to adequate housing, those kind of issues, to safety.
Yeah.
But what we do know is that parents can do a lot just by getting into the habit of interacting with their child through words, through songs, if you like, poetry, reciting the Quran, anything. It's very free form.
Yeah, I think that's the part that the parents should understand, that they don't have to buy books or do extra things that will create more barriers for them. It's just the simple things they can do.
And if say if you're an immigrant, you know, talking about life in Somalia. My grandmother came from Sweden. And I used to love to hear the stories of old Sweden, and I never got enough of them, you know, and just and telling them again and again, and, or
that's
folk tales.
Amazing.
If there's, you know, I imagine there's proverbs and folk tales
in Somali,
and telling them those, and, you know, so that, because then they. Then they know who they are too. It teaches them who they are, and to be proud of who they are.
It helps with the identity.
Yes. Yeah. Because the people need an identity.
And that I have noticed with the young girls that I work with on the skin lighting issue, that they have developed a lot of self-esteem issues, and mainly also it relates to the identity, because they don't know which culture that they fit in. So I think. Giving them a strong start on their culture, I think, will help with their identity too.
And telling about, leaders. I mean, even you know, babies won't understand politics, but talking about the leaders in the community, we now have many Somali leaders in the community, and that. And talking about whatever you want to talk about.
That actually even motivates them. They can see themselves in them. So that representation is so important. So in terms of brain health and brain science, are there researches going on in this state and other parts of the U.S.?
And we're very fortunate that the... we have at the University of Minnesota a very, very active child development research center led by Megan Gunner, and we're learning a lot. We also are collaborating in this, there's folks in this town who are collaborating with Harvard University and learning about brain development with Harvard, and so there's a lot of work being
done
here.
You are part of that project.
I'm not doing the work with, but Wilder Foundation is doing the work with Harvard, and we're learning a tremendous amount about how we stimulate kids and raise kids. So that they reach their full potential.
Yeah. So in the Somali community, there's a lot of fear about developmental delays and autism, since we have high prevalence in the Somali community of autism prevalence. So could you talk about a little bit about how this whole early brain health start could help in one of the for them to understand how that early start is so important.
And that it makes a difference. For example, we learned today that programs in the Northside Achievement Zone raise the proportion of children who are kindergarten ready from 30% to 70%. And so that means that these little moments, making use of these little moments, changes. You know, and so it means that what parents do, what the community does, can make a difference. Does make a difference.
Yeah.
And makes a huge difference. And so
True.
So it's And it doesn't take electronics. It doesn't take money. It takes a decision, a habit of talking with your baby, talking with your child, and it changes everything.
Yeah. So Dr. Megan Ganner talked about a lot about epigenetics,
yes,
and DNA, gene changes, and all of that. But one of the things that I didn't hear her talk about is how environmental exposures, like toxic chemicals, can also impact DNA and gene makeup. Do you know any of that? Is there something that you can take?
Well, of course, the community government has an obligation to have a provide an environment for people that's free of toxins.
Yeah.
But that's their obligation, and you know, issues of lead, of those kind of things,
mercury,
and I think
mercury,
but also what Dr. Gunner said too is that many times the methylation is not permanent.
Yes.
You know, it can, and I remember when I was at Mayo Clinic. Dr. Barker came from England and said, you know, what happened to the grandmother when she was, before she was born, affects the grandchild.
Yeah.
And this is the Barker hypothesis. And we thought, this is nuts.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand how some of these impacts can be like lifespan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And multi-generational, but the important thing is that we shouldn't be defeated by that.
Mm-hmm.
That the other thing Dr. Gunner said was, if you take individuals and look at their development, it looks like just a mass of spaghetti.
Yeah.
And so many people, and I know you know people, and I know people from... Mm-hmm. When I was at the Mayo Clinic, we did a lot of work on Indian reservations, and they were just phenomenal people.
Yeah.
And I know people who grew up in the bush of Canada who became famous doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And so while that affects things, it doesn't necessarily dominate.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that the government should ignore toxins and environmental hazards and those things. Those need to be dealt with. But parents, nurturing parents, supportive parents can make a huge difference, and that should start when the woman is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And we even talked about that. If you're pregnant, singing to your child and talking to them, because you know, they can hear in there.
Yeah.
And also
some of the health thing, like preconception care.
Yeah.
I think, because some of the immigrant communities, they do know preconception care on their own way and how they used to do in their countries.
Yeah.
But living in these countries, you know, like in the U.S., like there's a lot of issues in terms of chemical exposures. What's it? Product is that they use to change their skin color, skin lighting, or even chemicals that are in food and other environments where people need to do preconception care before they even become pregnant.
Yes, and I think you talked about the skin lighting chemicals that can be toxic, which should be avoided. And there, and we had talked about that the creating positive imagery around what Somali beauty is.
Yeah.
And it's not the same as European American beauty. It's not the same as Scandinavian beauty or German beauty, but it's beauty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very clear that there are very beautiful Somali women.
Yeah.
And for themselves.
For themselves,
And the other source, probably source of toxins that families may not be aware of, is inexpensive toys.
Yes.
Cheap toys, because they can have a lot of lead and
like
heavy metals. And
dollar stores.
And so the paint in there can be, you know, and so
And I've seen some studies that talk about candies that have lead from Mexico, chocolates and candies, yeah.
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 So, but what, you know, like toys, the kids love to imitate mom, and so you give them some, you know, some spoons and some little saucepans, and you know, for, you know, they can, you know, they pretend they cook, or, you know, you just little pieces of wood that are unpainted, or, you know, and so the kids will make their own toys.
Yeah.
You know, and like they said today, that you know, be your child's favorite toy.
Yeah.
Let them crawl over you and play with you.
And play with you. Yeah.
And we used to just take cardboard boxes and make toys in little houses out of cardboard boxes of, you know, packing crates and that kind of stuff.
So, so what advices can you give to parents in terms of early childhood, healthy development, and them also utilizing the little moments count material and all of that?
So I think the core message is that brains are built. Okay, so that even starting in utero, talking to the child, singing to the child, reading, playing, and that starts in utero and at birth, and has a very positive effect. Just that interaction with the parent or with the uncle or the auntie or the grandparent, any positive action has a very powerful effect on the child, and it starts immediately. That even though it looks like the child is unable to respond or is not responding, they are. You're teaching, anytime you sing, talk, read to the child, they're learning. You may not realize it, but you're learning. And so brains are built, and it starts from conception.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dr. Kottke, for joining us at the Beautiful talk today and discussing about your expertise and also how early childhood brain health and early development is so important for children, and also supporting parents through that process. So thank you so much for joining.
Oh, today. It was my pleasure.
Thank you.